Good morning, everyone. I welcome you to another Sunday morning service. I'm sure that it's going to be a beautiful time. I'm sure that you're going to be blessed, encouraged, motivated to step out into your world and, you know, have good success on every side. Before I go on, how's your week been? How is life in this COVID-19 time? I know it's not without its challenges, but in all of it, I'm sure and I'm confident that God is faithful. His word confidently assures us that he will not leave us, neither will he forsake us. So whatever the situation, however the challenge, be rest assured, be confident that God is right there with you. He will take you through it. He will help you fulfill it. He will help you keep your heads above the waters. This morning we're going to begin another series, another series of faith in action. Yeah, another series of faith in action. And this series is titled Power at Work. Power at Work. I'm sure that at the end of it, you're going to live one more time in the assurance of the power that God has made available for you because you have believed in Christ Jesus. Just before we pray, I would advise or ask that you make sure you have your Bibles around you, whether the e-version or the solid back. I prefer the solid hard Bible. Most times for these days, I realize that it's just easier to get into a corner and read a verse. Read two verses, read three verses. So get your Bibles, get your notes, get a pen, and be ready as we go into God's Word together. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we glorify your name. We thank you for this time. We thank you for all that you're going to do with your children as they open your heart to your word. Father, I pray that they will hear your voice. They will see you. They would get the truth of your word. Embrace it. Run with it without looking back. Thank you, Father, for the confidence that these words will bring to their hearts. Thank you for the assurance that will be done on them one more time. Thank you, Lord God, because they will live in the reality of who you have made them, of how the abundance of power that you have deposited in them, and they will step out confidently to live out purposefully for you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I've seen that believers are plagued with or believers have had to suffer is a situation where most times they are robbed of the reality, they are left impotent when challenges face them. They are left like they do not have the ability to go by or to go through situations. They are left with their tails between their legs, running in fear or living in fear because of a little torment, because of a little trouble. The devil comes and shakes a little, and you see believers just crack down, just break down, just lose it like they do not have any God or they do not have any help. This morning, I'm sure that at the end of this, there'll be some reality in our hearts one more time of how that you have received power, and the power is there and available for you to live a victorious life that you have received in Christ Jesus. Our text this morning is from two scriptures, John chapter 1, verse 12. I read from the King James Version. And the second one is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power, or he gave power to become children of God. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall testify of me in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Basically, and primary focus today in the scripture is, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the two scriptures we read are scriptures that expresses or that uses the word power in the Bible according to the King James Version. You know, both of them use the word power, but in actual sense, both words do not mean exactly the same thing, especially when you go back to the root definition from the Greek. You know, the Bible was written in Greek, and each word was expressed in different ways because they meant different things. So we'll start from John chapter 1 verse 12. It says, as many as believed, to them he gave power to become children of God. The word power there, according to King James Version, the Greek word is exousia, which basically means right. That's why you see some other versions, newer versions of the Bible will render it, to them he gave the right to become children of God. This is power, power of authority, the power of judicial decision. That is one who possesses authority over a certain jurisdiction or an area or an affair of situation. And the scripture, John chapter 1 verse 12, is saying, because you received Christ Jesus, you possess this legal right, legal backing to be called a child of God. To be called a child of God. By virtue of being a child of God, certain rights, certain things accrue to you. You have the legal backing of the one. It's like, be it in this way. If you become the president of Nigeria today, the rights that you have changes from who you are to who you have become. A normal, ordinary man before he becomes the president is normal and ordinary. He has no right over certain things. He has no jurisdiction concerning certain things. He has no legal backing to take some decisions as it concerns the country. But once you become the president of the country, say Nigeria, you have the legal right to make decisions concerning this country called Nigeria. An example is the recent decision of the lockdown of the states, three of Lagos State, Ogun State, and the Federal Capital Territory. It is because it is in the right of the president to do so. And even the Lagos State governor has no right to overturn it. The right conferred on someone gives them the power to act in that position he has assumed. So when you believed into Jesus Christ, you gained the power, the right to stand legally as a child of God. One conferred on you by God himself. One conferred on you based on the decision of God. Because you believed in Christ. You are a child of God. You have the right, you have the legal standing to be called a child of God. This right is beyond being called verbally a child of God. You need to understand that it's not just about saying, oh, I'm a child of God. Ayo is a child of God. No, much more than that is understanding that it is a backing by God. It comes with power. It comes with authority. You have authority over certain things, and you need to know that. You need to live in that reality. You need to come to terms with that reality. Romans chapter 8. Quickly turn your Bibles there, if you can get there. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Verse 15, that's 14. 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in a suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. It says, if we are children of God, then it says, then we are joint heirs with Christ. To say you are joint heirs with Christ gives you a further participatory right with Christ. It says you are joint heirs with Christ. You have participatory right with Christ Jesus. You have participatory right with Christ Jesus. What the saying is that you have a right, you have a standing to act in the capacity that Christ acted. The right that you have is the right of a son of God in the capacity in which Jesus Christ acted. An example I can think of is one in which it is only the king who can act as a king. But in actual sense, if he had co-heirship, joint heirship with someone, then both can act in that capacity. By law, if they say you have a joint heir, if we had a joint heir, maybe myself and Pastor Inka, we had joint heir to an inheritance, it means we both can express our right over it as we will, when we will. We are not necessarily dividing it and saying this is my own, that is your own, but one in which we can both express our right of ownership, right, participatory right of ownership over such inheritance. You have been placed in a position to act as Jesus did, to act in the capacity that Jesus acted as a son of God while he was here on earth. You have power, folks. You are not ordinary. You do not look at yourself as one who does not have a legal backing as a son of God. You should not look at yourself as one who should remain lily-livered. You are a child of God. And it is a backing by God, and it is one that comes with the right to stand in participatory, to stand in a participatory right with Jesus Christ. It says, if you are sons, then you are joint heirs with Christ. You are not ordinary. You are not ordinary. Hallelujah. And this, the second scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus telling his disciples, says, go, tarry, wait for me in Jerusalem. As you wait there, power is coming. You receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What was Jesus saying? The word power here in the Greek is rendered dunamis.